was president. The pavilion also houses a helicopter used as Marine One. So it's a very impressive and beautiful backdrop.
I, for one, am very glad they are not building that thing again. I was on top of that 8 years ago, and I thought at any moment, even if we had a 2.1, this thing's going to fall over. So kudos to Fox Business and Univision. David, the walkthroughs that go on, do you have to be there every time they're doing a walkthrough? And I know the technical capabilities of the Reagan Foundation and the library are amazing, but you still, it's a complex deal.
There are many moving pieces, but Hugh, I have the great privilege to lead a team that's done this before. So 2007, 2008, 2011, and it sounds like you have direct hands-on experience with the 2015 event. So this team knows how to perform with excellence and is working very closely with Fox Business and with Univision and Rumble. And I get to greet and engage with a number of the candidates as they arrive.
Now, I know you don't control the questions, but you get to lobby a little bit. How would you have them bring in the legacy of Ronald Reagan into this debate, David Trullio?
Absolutely, Hugh. I think there are some key principles that we all need to keep in mind, not only for this debate, but in this whole season. So Ronald Reagan's key principles, those are limited government, individual liberty, economic opportunity. How are the candidates speaking to those? How are they also speaking to freedom and democracy? How are they speaking to peace through strength as well as national pride? Those are timeless, enduring principles that Ronald Reagan promoted in his time and that we as the foundation carry on in his memory. And I'll add, Hugh, I think there are four really key issues that I'd love to get into with you. But certainly you and I are passionate about national security and foreign policy. Economics are a huge issue. Look, I think appealing to Hispanic voters is a key issue that is certainly going to come up, I would expect, given that we're partnered with Univision, which reaches a vast Latino audience, and also the 11th Commandment.
You know, David, I had Tim Scott on the show last week. He believes fervently that the Reagan approach to optimism, which Arthur Brooks also writes about in his new book about being increasing, voting positive, vote your positive choice will matter to his campaign. How do people try and say that without just saying Ronald Reagan is my guy?
Well, look, there's a difference between being just cheerful and happy and also having a reason to be optimistic. President Reagan saw the strength and potential and the better days of America. He was a happy warrior, but he also understood that we had reasons to be happy and to be optimistic. And he was able to be cheerful in that context. These are challenging times for the country. There were challenging times, certainly in the 70s going into the 1980 election. So I think my view is that it's very important for candidates to speak to our challenges, but also to the strengths that are going to get us to overcome those challenges.
Traditionally, the Reagan Foundation and the Reagan Library have the highest visitor count of all of the presidential libraries. I am wondering, during debate week, does it go up? Or does it go down because of construction and displacement?
Well, we'll be closed to the public on Wednesday, actual debate day. There is some disruption in the run-up to Wednesday's debate. However, all of our guests and visitors are welcome, and we certainly encourage them to come if they're so inclined. And certainly after Wednesday, it's a great time to come. The fall is beautiful. And where else can you see and touch a piece of the Berlin Wall, go inside the plane that President Reagan flew, see the final resting place of the President and Mrs. Reagan, and also critically learn about one of the most important presidents and consequential presidents of the last 100 years?
The Reagan Foundation doing a great job. I love the fact that the new Constructive Engagement Civic Center, is that going to have an office in D.C. and out in Simi Valley, David?
So we've launched a new Center on Public Civility. It seeks to move the needle on the national conversation, to reward good behavior, and to really draw on President Reagan's example. Here was a man of great principle who believed what he believed in, but was also able to forge compromises with Democrats and do great things for the country and pass major legislative achievements. So we're in a design phase now. It'll be based out of Washington, but lots of work to do nationwide.
Congratulations on that. Congratulations on Wednesday night. Again, it's 9 p.m. in the East, 6 p.m. in the West for 2 hours at the Reagan Library, the Reagan Foundation partnering with Univision, Fox Business, and Rumble. Thank you, David Trullio. Thank you all for listening.
Thanks,
I'll be right back in the next hour of the Hugh Hewitt Show.
The when you absolutely, positively need the truth. This is where you turn. This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. Code Red is the latest in the Vince Flynn, Mitch Rapp series. This one authored by Kyle Mills, who's done the last 10, and this is Kyle Mills at his best. The new Mitch Rapp thriller is being hailed by Town Hall as a bullet train to high adventure. The Real Book Spy says Code Red feels ripped straight from next week's headlines. I read it in one day. I talked to Kyle Mills about it. If you find my iTunes website, you can listen to that interview. But all you'll hear there is that you should read this book. It's actually the kind of thriller that disturbs anyone who reads it. The question is always Mitch Rapp against the bad guys. But the bad guys in this case are both Russia and Syria and cartels. It's quite the read. Go get the number one New York Times best-selling Code Red by Vince Flynn, the Mitch Rapp series authored by Kyle Mills. Available now wherever books are sold, or go to my book club on my website at hughhewitt.com. That's Code Red, the latest in the Vince Flynn Mitch Rapp series, Code Red.
This is the Hugh Hewitt Show.
Hey, Chuck, can you explain the difference between Dollar Loan Center's locations and the typical check cashing and payday places?
Well, we don't have bulletproof glass, we don't have bars on the windows, we don't have plastic furniture. Look, our locations are more upscale, clean and safe, like banks used to be.
And your locations have even won awards for how nice they are?
For several years in a row, the Financial Service Centers of America have awarded us with the Activia Award for Outstanding Community Service and the Star Award for Best Store Appearance. Both are national recognitions.
That was Chuck, and to celebrate 25 years in business, he's offering free loans to all new customers. No fee to apply and a week of free interest. We have over 50 locations. Apply over the phone or online at don'tbebroke.com. Don't forget, your first loan is free in 2023 at the DLC.
Free loan means if you pay off your loan in 1 week or less, the interest is free. You are still required to repay the principal amount. Licensed by the Data Financial Institutions Division. Customer must meet the normal loan qualifications. Review loan qualifications. Visit us at don'tbebroke.com. Certain limitations may apply. Loans are subject to approval.
Broadcasting live from the Dream Dental Studios on the world-famous Las Vegas Strip. AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. When you're at the mercy of foreign oil producers, it probably should come as no surprise that crude prices are up. And that spawns a range of challenges.
Drivers pay more for gasoline and truckers more for diesel. Russia is earning money that it can use to wage its war against Ukraine. Central bankers may see more inflation coming and keep interest rates high. Behind the recent bump in price is Saudi Arabia's decision to slash how much oil it sends to global markets through the end of the year. Russia is also cutting back, and less supply means higher prices.
Correspondent Jeremy House. From the Jersey Shore north to New England, what's left of tropical storm Ophelia continues whipping up gusty winds, dumping lots of rain. Later today, some residents of Lahaina on the fire-ravaged Hawaiian island of Maui will be escorted to the burn zone for a look at where their homes once stood. Thousands of buildings were destroyed by last month's deadly wildfires. No visa, no problem for Israeli citizens. They may soon be allowed to travel to the United States visa-free.
U.S. officials say an announcement of Israel's entry into the visa waiver program is planned for later this week. Currently, the Department of Homeland Security allows citizens of 40 mostly European and Asian countries to travel to the U.S. for 3 months without visas. The expected announcement comes despite disagreements between the White House and the Israeli Prime Minister over Benjamin Netanyahu's effort to overhaul Israel's judicial system. Greg Clugston, Washington.
There is word of a tentative deal to end the TV and movie writers' strike, now 5 months old. However, there's no deal yet to get the Detroit auto workers back on the job and end their walkout. On Wall Street this morning, the Dow futures down 69 points, NASDAQ futures 31 points lower. More on these stories at townhall.com.
But the following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you called Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself. Because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders. Trinity was great to work with. They wanted to help me. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990.
This is your KMZQ News Flash. MGM Resorts International says its online reservation system, it's back. The casino giant announced on Friday that the reservations can now be made online at mgmresorts.com and on its mobile app. Experts say MGM Resorts, Nevada's largest employer, have been losing between $4 and $8 million in revenue each and every day since the beginning of that cyber attack disruption that started on September 10th. The cyber attack being investigated by the FBI. Gaming experts say it was crucial for MGM Properties to get back on track with a series of big events coming up very soon. The inaugural Las Vegas Grand Prix, that happens in November. The National Finals Rodeo in December, CES in January, and of course, Super Bowl 58 on February 11th. Super Bowl 58 now has a halftime performer with a Las Vegas connection. The NFL announcing that Usher will be the headlining performer at the Super Bowl halftime show come February 11th over at Allegiant Stadium. The timing could not be better for the Atlanta-born superstar. He'll also be releasing his ninth album, Coming Home, along with his Super Bowl performance. Usher joins a growing list of Las Vegas performers to play the Super Bowl halftime show that includes Katy Perry, Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, and Aerosmith. With an opening date of December 13th, just announced, Fontainebleau Las Vegas holding its five-day job fair. The Strip property needs 6,500 employees for its restaurants, bars, and nightlife operations. The job fair begins today. For more information, click on careers.com, fontainebleaulasvegas.com. And Wynn and Encore Las Vegas going back to charging for self-parking for non-guests. That daily parking fee, $20 a day. First 4 hours are free. Valet parking will be $40 per day. The return to parking, self-paid parking, begins on Wednesday. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website at 670kmzq.com. Click on that Listen Live button.
Hear inspiring stories that are part of the American landscape every night at 10 on Our American Stories. Everyone has a story to tell, and master storyteller Lee Habib tells them on AM 670 KMZQ.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
It's KMZQ Traffic, brought to you by Findlay Chevrolet, located on 215 and South Rainbow, home of the...
Brake lights come early on the drive into Henderson right now, along 95 southbound from Flamingo on down toward Russell Road. That's all construction-related delay. You do have one accident, though, on the flip side of the freeway. Through the Charleston curve, the accident's 95 northbound after the Charleston exit. Otherwise, moving safely here on I-15, 215 and Summerlin Parkway. Downtown Las Vegas area, an accident with injury on Eastern at 95. Also, a west side wreck at Tropicana and Fort Apache to steer clear of. Sunny and warm afternoon temperatures going to fall well short of triple digits. Today's highs expected to top out at 93 degrees. It's 68 right now. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Here is just some of the bold agenda that I'll immediately implement when we become the 47th President of the United States. Before I even arrive at the Oval Office, shortly after I win the presidency because of you, I will have the horrible war between Russia and Ukraine settle. I'll get it done in 24 hours. I know them both very well. I am the only candidate who can make this promise, and the promise is I will prevent World War III. Nobody else is going to be able to do it.
Time is running out. Number two. Time is running out. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Monday, September 25th. Good to have you with us. We talk on this show a lot about education because our kids are our future. And no better way to kick off the week than Kevin Child, the former Clark County School Board of Trustee member who joins us. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope your listeners had a great weekend.
I had a great weekend until the Raiders game, and then all of a sudden it kind of went downhill from there. But
I know. I'm sorry about your Raiders, but I'm really sorry about my Notre Dame team.
Well, hey, and the good thing is the Chiefs won, and they won big. We'll talk more about that on the show a little bit later on. But Kev, can you give us just a perspective on where we are on this impasse between teachers and the Clark County School District?
Well, again, as we discussed on your show about the teachers and CCSD about their contract, it's an impasse and it went to an arbitrator. So right now the arbitrator is looking over details and the facts and the figures of who's going to get what and who's going to get, you know, they have to give what they're going to get for their dollars. Because remember, the teachers union's asking for a 10% raise this year and a 8% next year. So again, they have to make sure the money is there, and that's why they have an arbitrator, because each sides are not telling the truth. And I said this more and more, is both sides need to come to the table and act like grown-ups, and they haven't yet. And that's why they're, again, in with a arbitrator, Kevin.
You have been an advocate for what I call a forensic audit. They call it different things, different places. Tell me what a forensic audit is and how it differs from just a regular old-fashioned audit.
Well, let me start with a forensic audit, meaning it's nothing that nobody did wrong, but it's everything that you can find that's wrong. So what happens is when you do that forensic audit, it peels back the layer of the onion. You can see actually every line-by-line item. If something's amiss, then they have to see where that money is. Somebody could be spending money, not that it's criminal. But again, you get to have all eyes on that budget. And it's approximately to do a forensic audit, it's going to cost you probably about $1.8 to $2.5 million. But when you're spending over $3 billion, that's nothing to have accountability. I think the taxpayer, remember, it's the taxpayer's dollars at risk here that are educating our children. So we need this forensic audit to go line by line. I think every school district in Nevada needs to do that, Kevin, because, again, all 17, it's not about good, bad, right, or wrong. It's about knowing those finances. And any good corporation would want that to happen.
Can Governor Lombardo, who said he wanted to be an education governor, is there anything he can do about this?
No, he can't. But again, the legislature can. And even when I was a school board trustee, I asked those legislators, they don't want to do that. Because then they don't have anything to scream and yell about. Again, it's that elephant in the room that, guess what's not being addressed, because it all comes down to money. And it's just because you're spending more money in a school district doesn't mean you're going to have the best outcomes, because there's some schools in America that are not spending as much as we are, but are getting better results than we are. It's all about managerial skills, Kevin.
Again, Kevin Child joining us, the former Clark County School Board of Trustee member. We were talking about Governor Lombardo. He rolled out last week a new program, the ACING Accountability Framework. It sounds good, but I'm still trying to put some meat on the bones, so to speak. What is this program about?
Well, Kevin, it's about metrics, but there's no metrics. You waited almost 9 months, and you rolled this out. And then you promised before that you're going to give billions of dollars without this program. So it took you 9 months. And you have to understand is, if you're going to be an education governor, you better know what you're talking about. And this is the problem, is that we have a problem, is that we have, I look at this way, I made a coin phrase, a common sense approach to an educational problem. No one has a common sense approach. It's all about reading, writing, and arithmetic, Kevin. They don't address that in here because we need to have one curriculum through Nevada, how to read, write, and do math. And we don't have that. And and it's all different in every 17 school districts. And if you have one, you won't have that problem. That way everybody knows that they have to hit this goal to make it to that goal. They have, and then you design a budget around that. And again, if there's also programs that you can, because remember, you have lower income families that are struggling because guess what? They're not getting their kids to school. And there's the biggest equation of them all is parents and parents in this educational equation. Because a lot of those parents don't take care of their kids after school or during school or after school because they're working. And they're working, and guess what? If you don't have a parent involved in education, Kevin, you're in trouble. But none of that addresses this, Kevin.
Let me ask you about something else that the district did last week. Laying out three options for a later start time for school. What in God's name is going on? Why are we screwing around with the start times when parents, you know, have got, stuff in place to get the kids to school and to meet the buses at a certain time? And now we're talking about maybe changing all that?
Well, it's catering to a weak culture, Kevin. Years ago, we got up early in the morning. We got our bus ready to go to school. Our parents got us up and they went to work. They don't understand that. Again, it goes back to the parent. If you're not getting these parents to say you're bending to the parents' will or your parents, you get your child. That's your child. Get your child to school. Get them up early and get them to bed early. Because the problem is you've got all these components, the cell phones, the laptops and all this. And this is one of the reasons why we stopped doing homework a lot. You could only have so many hours of homework at every school, and then you get the kid to school. Get this kid to bed early and get the kid to school early. But evidently, that's not working because people want to change it. And again, Kevin, there should be a symposium with the teachers, with the governor, with the legislators, with the school board trustees, with all and have a meeting of the minds. They have never done that, Kevin. Put them in one room and let the public see what's going on. Because, again, we have to shine the sunlight on that to disinfect the problem that we have in the public schools.
Is there any empirical evidence or otherwise that shows that a later start time will increase productivity among these kids?
Not at all. You can go online and I tell people, Google it. You have Google, Google it. But again, it all comes down to, like I said, the classroom, parents, and the educator. There's a lot of moving parts when you have public schools. That's why sometimes it's better to have a school choice, Kevin. But there's no evidence that says if you're going to get up later that you're going to have a better performance. There's no way.
So why are we delving into these three options?
It's the shining object in the room to make you not look at the real object is that we have a failed school system and everybody's at fault and nobody, and they want to break up these names that they can do. Because remember, when I went in 2015, we were 50th ranked. When I left in 2020, Kevin, we were 37th ranked. Now they're 49th ranked. Because it was programs that we see fit to make sure that we had the money to put in place to help those schools that were failing. It was called actually the turnaround zone. They got rid of the turnaround zone. They infused a little bit more money they had accountability that they had to reach these goals. And teachers got a little bit of bonus. The school principals got a bonus. Everybody got a little bit of meat on the bone, and everybody ate, and everybody was happy. And when everybody's happy, guess what? The kids get happy.
Over the weekend, more protests relative to Jesus Jara, as folks are calling for his ouster, for his resignation, for his firing. Where are we in that process? And are there four votes for sending him sending him packing?
Well, the problem is that you don't hear the trustees go out there and talk to their constituents. They hide and they won't talk to us. So, Cameron, find out what their thoughts are on Superintendent Jara. But again, they use that shiny object again. They say, here, it's his fault. Well, it's everybody's fault because guess what? You should all be held accountable because the superintendent's not in every school, Kevin. The school board trustees should be in those schools. They don't go in those schools. They don't see the problems. And that's the reason why, and a lot of times they don't want those trustees in there because guess what? They'll see the problems. As a trustee, you should be in every school every day to find out, not to get in the way, but to go and look and observe and to find out what's going on. And then when you tell that one of the teachers says, I work for you. If you can't tell me what's wrong, we can't fix it. And that's what I used to say to the principals and teachers after, you know, saying, I'm not here to narc somebody out, but I'm here to help somebody out. And if you don't tell us what's wrong, we can't fix it. And that's the problem is you got to start listening in the classroom. You got to start listening in that office. You got to listen to the people on the ground. And that's the problem with the school board trustees. They don't. And even the legislators should be in those schools. Remember, they had 9 months and they roll out this program. Kevin, this is another shining object in the room, and it should be addressed by the media. And it should be addressed by parents because, again, there's no teeth to this acing accountability. And they still haven't made the metrics for it, Kevin. So we've got to wake up the taxpayers. Yes, and I say the taxpayer, that's our taxpayers' dollars they're spending.
Let me just ask you, we've seen more and more of these what I call pop-up protests. There was one Saturday. And again, not large numbers of people, but folks that say Jesus Jara needs to go. Are you surprised that we're seeing more and more of these protests around the district?
No, and they're going to get more because the teachers' union knows how to do it. The CCA knows how to do it, and they get people riled up. And again, they don't tell the whole truth. Because, again, they'll tell what they want. That's why they got a lawsuit against them, because they weren't telling the truth. And do I think that Jara should be there? No, I don't. We need somebody new. But then they go back to say, we're going to have to spend a lot of money to go out and find. You don't have to spend any money. There's people that can run the school district in the Clark County School District. So you don't have to spend all that money. And even if you spent $200,000 to find a great superintendent, that's pittance of what you're spending $3 billion on your educational system in Clark County.
I know that you have mentioned on this show before that you would like to serve on the board again, even as a non-voting member. Can you talk a little bit about where that is right now?
Okay, so the Clark County commissioners are still looking at how they're going to do this process. And I'm hoping within a couple of weeks they're going to have what their metrics is to becoming one of the appointees for the Clark County School District. So I'm still keeping my ears on the railroad tracks to see when that train's coming down the track, because I still am interested. And again, those county commissioners can count on me asking tough questions and getting their kids educated. I know that you're never going to make a ton of friends, but I didn't want to make friends. I wanted to make sure that we had a better educational system in Las Vegas for our family and for our children.
And explain what this position is. This was generated, what, by the legislature?
Yes, it was. It was done by the Nevada legislature to put a couple extra people on these boards. So you have representatives from the city of North Las Vegas, Las Vegas, Henderson, and Clark County. So you'd have four different people, eyes and ears, on the school board trustees. But again, like you said, they're non-voting. I think that they should have made them voting, because then you have more teeth. When you have no teeth in the game, it's like, all right, just sit there. But you have a voice, and you can still have a voice out in, on the public when you get shows like this or go in front of the board and voice your opinion. But again, it's like anything else. You have to have teeth when you have a program. And I hope that when they have the next legislative session, that they go ahead and make sure that whoever they appoint, they have that teeth. They have